Let's get now to Stephen Chang, Managing Director and Asia Portfolio Manager at PIMCO, on the line for us from Hong Kong. So an extraordinary session on Friday, and we are expecting to see some more upside too, as we have seen these sweeping plans from China in terms of trying to rescue its economy. How far do you think that we can see China stocks rise in the year end?
I think there have been quite a lot of bearishness in the market building up for quite some time. And we are now coming to a number of different positive factors that have happened over the past week, including the China relaxation, or at least more precise kind of measures in terms of COVID. And then in terms of the property market, we have also seen the 16-point document coming out from PBOC and CBIRC. On the U.S. side, which is more of a macro interest rate and liquidity related indicator, the CPI number has gotten yields lower, with perhaps more certainty about where some of the terminal rates can be from the Fed. So I think there are some gaps in terms of the technical charts on Chinese equities, but I think generally the direction is probably more of this correction from oversold.
Are we starting to see potentially the light at the end of the tunnel here, that the worst is going to be over for China's economy, particularly when you look at this rescue plan?
I think we look at this rescue plan along with the COVID policy in terms of the China policymakers having more pragmatism in terms of how they deal with some of these issues. I think there were a lot of fear that they were very ideological. It's either zero or one in terms of, you know, how they tackle property or how they tackle COVID. And this time, the kind of like the approach seems to be more about development of the economy, and that there are problems that they are willing to tackle and provide some support. So all of this is going to soothe the market in regards to the economic growth. There are still a lot of potential downside next year in case some of these measures doesn't come into a kind of better attraction for the economy. But certainly compared to a couple of weeks ago, this is looking, you know, at least remove a lot of the tail risk that people feared about.
Yeah, and that's on the domestic front. On the global geopolitical front, we have President Biden and President Xi heading for their first meeting in person since President Biden took over. So that's going to happen in Bali. There is, you know, increasingly concerns of a deeper rupture between these two powerhouses that could split the global economy. What are you expecting from these talks?
When head of state meets, they come back with some readout, which is generally more benign. I think it's usually not too confrontational. Obviously, we will have to wait for the result. But when we look at the broader picture, given some of the visits, for example, last week from the German head of state to China, I think those kind of results were quite encouraging. And that there are some practical issues that they want to make sure the economy is ongoing. Some of the globalization efforts will need to be maintained. And jointly, both between China and Germany, they also take an approach where they certainly would be on high alert, or at least discouraging any kind of step up in terms of the Ukraine-Russia situation.
And talk about where bond markets are headed, particularly after we heard the Federal Reserve Governor Christopher Waller saying they've got a ways to go before the U.S. central bank stops raising interest rates. How does this play into the Asia bond market picture too, Stephen?
I think Asian bond market is looking more into the terminal Fed funds rate and how the potential kind of pivot or pausing by the Fed is going to benefit the wider risk sentiment. The Fed is still going to hike rates. In fact, they don't want the easing of the financial condition too early, so that inflation might become more entrenched. So I think in terms of Fed official, they will still talk in a more hawkish manner. But the market is looking through to the data where the CPI last week has moderated somewhat, and in particular, those interest rate sensitive segments are showing a bigger impact. I think broader growth will also be seeing some negativity from these higher rates, which will eventually turn the Fed around.
We were talking earlier as well about the policy support in China. We are seeing Country Garden leading a rally in Chinese developer dollar bonds. You're cautious in general, though, on China rates and duration. Tell us why.
There are a few different factors. I think if the growth picture were to be stronger, I think that would potentially lead to higher rates. China has been using the fiscal lever to stimulate demand, in particular for these like longer term infrastructure type of projects, and that needs funding. So combining both of these, and in context of higher rates globally, when China 10-year yield is still, you know, around the 2.70 area, it doesn't look like there is much of any strong incentive to own China rates at this point. We'll be watching for some of the medium lending facility action this week to see, you know, how the PBOC and others will kind of give us more hints.
On the broader macro picture, I mean, we've been talking about policy with support. We've been talking about the Fed's target. What kind of global downturn are you expecting? Are we going to see a recession? How shallow, how deep?
We are expecting more of a shallow recession. I think that has been put in by a number of forecasters as well. What we're anticipating is just slightly negative, but for a slightly longer duration, as the central banks need to stamp out inflation and other wage price type spiral. But all in particular the U.S., the growth has been quite resilient. Employment picture in particular has remained quite strong. And now with China potentially opening up and some support for property, that can also offset some of the downside risk.
Where can you be here, Stephen, then to remain defensive, particularly against all the headwinds we're going to face in 2023?
We were actively managing it. I think at this point, given some of the positive factors that have played out last week, we'll be more agile in terms of our beta positioning. For example, in Asia currencies, we'll be having both overweights and underweights, whereas over the course of this year, we've been mostly underweight given the strength of US dollar and the rate hike cycle. Similarly, for credits, there might be some pockets of attractive valuation for names that might be able to live through some of the fundamental deterioration and can benefit on the upcycle once it's out of the woods.
All right. And we do hope that we get out of the woods sooner rather than later. We thank you, as always, for your time. Stephen Chang is Managing Director, Asia Portfolio Manager at PIMCO, on the line for us from Hong Kong.